The Torah content from now through Pesach has been sponsored by the Kofsky family in loving memory of Adira, who loved big ideas and asking big questions.
All right, so quick review of yesterday, and then we'll try to wrap this part up today because it's the end of the week. And then I really want to get on to defining tshuva next week. Okay, so four formulations of the mitzvah, and we're not going to reread all of them, just the highlights, literally. Sefer mitzvos is lihisvados al hachatayim asher hachatanu lefanav yisal b'dibur be'es shenashuv mehem. That's primacy of vidui in the framework of tshuva. Minyan mitzvos lihisvados lifnei Hashem mikolchei tshiase ha'adam b'shasa korban v'shelo b'shasa korban. So that's vidui, and then for some weird reason he emphasizes korbanos. Okay, and no mention of tshuva whatsoever. Then koseres shiashu b'chodim echada lifnei Hashem v'yisvade. Emphasis on tshuva and vidui equally, or you could say primary emphasis on tshuva and then vidui is like an afterthought. But in the framework of hilchos tshuva, not hilchos vidui, it sounds like this is being, you know, tshuva is the primary thing, okay? Certainly in the section. And then you have in the first halacha, entire emphasis on the mitzvah of vidui, and tshuva is just the condition. Kishiyase tshuva v'yashuv mechato chayev lihizvados lifnei akel baruch hu. And then he clarifies vidui zeh mitzvos haseh. Okay, so the question was how to reconcile it. So yesterday we made the move from Rav Nachum Rabinovich, who says, and I'm going to read this because I want to read on and ramp into it. Yish lamod ahevdel chashuv bein lashonu v'sefer mitzvos l'kan. We should understand the difference between the sefer mitzvos and here. Okay, so he reiterates the distance, the difference, and then he says, So I didn't dwell on this as much as I should have yesterday, that the Rambam his formulation of the mitzvah is sometimes more limited than the scope of the mitzvah itself. Okay. And then he gives us our principle, which we learned yesterday, which will explain this.
Say that again.
Yeah, the formulation of the mitzvah is more restrictive sometimes than the full scope of the mitzvah. Okay, we'll see that in tshuva and bidui. B'sefer ha-mitzvos ikar kavanaso hi minyan ha-mitzvos mitoch ha-ksuvim. So his main intent in the sefer mitzvos is to count the mitzvos from the psukim. Lefikach, therefore, hizkir es ha-mitzvah kamoshi mitu eres b'pasuk. Mitoch michlol mitzvos hakorbanos. Therefore, he mentions the mitzvah as it is described in the pasuk in the framework of the mitzvah of korbanos, dahinu vidui devarim, which is confession. Okay, so in the psukim, as we read, it's just here's korbanos, here's your chatas, and you do vidui. You would not know from the psukim that there is any idea of tshuva beyond korbanos in the mitzvah. Okay, you wouldn't know it from the Torah b'Ksav. But in the Sefer Mitzvos, he adds that the mitzvah is to do vidui at the time when we do tshuva. The vidui is only the final stamp of the tshuva. I think this is a well-known halacha, right? If you do vidui and you didn't do tshuva, what is that comparable to? So what's the mushal?
Because you're holding a mouse in your hand.
Exactly, right? So it's not the tefillah in the mikvah is not going to do anything if you're still in contact with the source of tumah, right? So the if you don't do tshuva, then the vidui does nothing, right? But if you did do tshuva, which is letting go of the sheretz, then the vidui does something. Yeah. Rabbi Zucker makes the point, which I think is a fair point. Anytime you have a mashal, you have to think about how much of the mashal is significant, you know? So Rabbi Zucker said, people read that mashal and they think that there's no point in doing vidui without tshuva, right? And that's the nimshal, right? And the mashal would be, there's no point in going into mikvah if you still hold the sheretz. And then he argues with that, though, right? Well, what can you argue is better about the guy in the mikvah with the sheretz in the sand versus the guy not in the mikvah? Yeah, he's in the mikvah, right? So
it's a start.
It's a start. I would. Yeah, that's true. Dunking the I would say slightly more than it's a start. It's that the guy outside of the mikvah has not like.
Not struggling against it. there's not like an internal conflict, at least really given into whatever it is.
Well, we could, you could go into his motives, but I don't know if that's like definite. You know, the point is that the guy in the, all the guy in the mikveh needs to do is let go of the sheretz, and he's already in a situation where he can become tahor. You know, whereas the guy who's outside of the mikveh is not. So you can think about that there might be an argument that there's value to doing vidui. Not that all you have to do is do tshuva. Like, it's not like it's that easy, but like, it's not that you're doing nothing. See, I don't know if you relate to this, but, whenever I'm doing vidui on Yom Kippur, on something that I haven't done tshuva on, it feels like a hypocritical thing, you know? And I think, always think of this, like, you know, this mashal, and, you know, there are other explanations for why we do vidui on Yom Kippur, that are, like, you know, that there's still value in it. We could talk about that at some other time, but you know, Rabbi Zucker wanted to say that at least you're creating the potential for the tshuva to just take effect, you know, by articulating the sins that you are you know, involved in. Yeah. I think in terms of tshuva, yeah, kapara is a separate question. Yes, yeah, you do, yeah. Yes.
I was going to say this, but I don't know if it like contradicts in some way like the Yom Kippur idea, because I know on Yom Kippur, on the one hand, it's like a complete like absolvement of all things. But on the other hand, like this dealing with the hypocrisy question of vidui on certain things that you haven't done to Shubhan yet. To me, it would feel like, well, that's kind of the whole thing, is that it's like an ongoing process.
Yeah.
Shubha, it's not something like I can be like, okay, I did it. Like I'm done. And I'm like, and so on the one, for me on that sense, I'm like, well, of course I'm, this is me trying and engaging with the thing to try to let go of it, even if I'm not done. Although it's hard to say on Yom Kippur, since Yom Kippur is a day that's a weak idea.
Right. So in that sense, you know, the thing you said earlier is correct, is that it's not like it's an all or nothing deal in terms of whether you're doing something worthwhile. Like engaging in part of the process of tshuva is still worthwhile, even if you don't complete it this year.
Right.
In terms of the plain shot of like the kapara of Yom Kippur and the clean start thing, plain shot is on tshuva, sorry, on Yom Kippur, you only get kapara for the things you did tshuva on.
Right.
However, I think there is a separate idea of like the vidui Yom HaKippurim, which has its own identity outside of the vidui we do as part of our personal tshuva. That's I wrote an article about that I could send you that that is worth looking at, because again, there's this constant battle of the feeling like you're just a this low life on Yom Kippur of like, I didn't do anything and I haven't changed anything, you know? And then you don't get as much out of the day, but there, I think there's a lot you still get out of the day. If you understand like the uniqueness of the video on Yom Kippur. So yeah. Okay. So now let's go on. So that was all review. Okay. So let's go on though. Oh, sorry. We didn't finish this paragraph yet. So he says, Vidui below tshuva eno klum. Vidui without tshuva is nothing. Nimsa shat tzivui leizvados shenemar b'mforash kolol mimela esachiyuv lashuv. Now, this is an interesting perspective. Once you know that idea that vidui without tshuva is nothing, so then once you see that there's a mitzvah of vidui, what can you infer about?
Say the first part again.
Yeah, once you know that vidui without tshuva is nothing, and then you see that there is a mitzvah of doing vidui,
then it must be.
It must imply tshuva, right? Saying the words, Hashem, I sinned and I'm never going to do it again, if you're actually going to do it again, is just a meaningless statement, you know?
It's not called vidui.
Right. So even in these formulations where the Rambam doesn't mention tshuva, tshuva is implicit, which is why like he can sneak it in by saying be'ez she'azei tshuva. Okay. But, hold on. Okay. Baram Khan me'achar shehalachos ela miuados hein lebir makif al nosei tshuva. However, since these halachos, the halachos of Hilchos Tshuva, promise an explanation that is more encompassing about the subject of tshuva, right? This is tshuva with the ikarim that are dragged along with it. We're not just explaining how to do vidui; we're explaining all of tshuva. Shina b'lashono lahadgish es tochin hamitzvah v'lo rak es gemar tsurasa. The Rambam changes his lashon to include the full content of the mitzvah and not just the full form of the mitzvah. So in other words, the Rambam is, so in the Sefer Mitzvot, the Rambam is just extracting the Taryag mitzvah, the mitzvah of Taryag from the Psukim. So he emphasizes vidui because that's the context in Torah Shebetzav. In the Koseres, the Rambam is saying he's going to explain the entire content of the mitzvah. And since he wants to unpack tshuva fully with all of its ikarim, he puts tshuva and vidui on more equal plane. So it turns out that, you know, when we first read this, and I mistakenly said that you should kind of treat all four as equal and then try to come up with like a formulation, the Rabbi Rabinovich is viewing it as though the essential formulation is the Koseris one, and the Torah B'Chsav oriented formulation is the Sefer Mitzvos and the Minyan Mitzvos. Okay, one more other additional point here. Okay, scrolling down. Okay, so he says like this. Okay, so now he's going to answer this question. Okay, which is, why in the Minyan HaMitzvos at the beginning of the Mishnah Torah does he mention the Korbanos stuff, B'shasa Korban, B'shalo B'shasa Korban? Now, we know it's a true point, and we know you need to know it, but the question is, why does he put it in the formulation in the Minyan HaMitzvos? Anyone have a theory? It'd be like, you know, in a table of contents, usually you just say, like, what the topic is. You don't say the topic and then a detail, a random detail, you know?
Yeah.
Well, in the back of the book.
Yeah, that's more of the back of the book. Yeah, well, you're saying this is more like the back of the book, or
description.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, no, I just wanted to register about which chapter part. I've never seen that.
Well, sometimes they have like subheadings in the chapter, right? But you don't typically have. Like, let's put it this way: you can have a chapter if you know, in school textbooks, mm-hmm. they'll have the chapter heading and then they'll have the sub points in total. That makes sense. But the chapter heading and then one sub point.
Yeah,
that's weird.
You only ever have a subpoint because you're gonna have other subpoints.
Yeah, right. You commit to the subpoint list, or you don't have any subpoints. You know. Ah, okay. So that's what I would have thought based on what we've read so far, right? That since you're coming from Torah B'Chsav, and you would think this is only by Korbanos, he has to steer you away from that false interpretation, right? Okay, but check out this answer. And this is another, like...
What is the title and the subtitle that we're talking about again?
So the title is L'hizvados lifnei Hashem mikol chet she'yaseh ha'adam. To do vidui from everything that a person does. And then what I'm calling a subpoint is at a time when you bring a korban and not at a time when you bring a korban. That's a subpoint, right?
So maybe, I don't know if I can. So maybe it's because there's like two different... there's two different styles. There's two different manners in which you can do that. That like tshuva, I guess, on. And there's like two different, not just like context, but there's different principles within that, like different types.
Okay, so that would be the other way to go. Okay, so let me summarize the two answers being given here. So Chaim is saying that the reason why he needs to say this is to refute a hava amina that would be generated by the psukim. And since this is a list that's coming from the psukim, it makes sense the Rambam would dispel a havamina. What you're saying is this is part of the essence of the mitzvah, and maybe there are two separate like forms or frameworks for this mitzvah. Okay, the Rabbi Rabinovich's answer is much more similar to Chizkiyahu's. Okay, but check this out. I think this is really cool. Okay, so he says like this: Yeshnan od dugmaos liikaron haniskar el shi'is baru beezros Hashem b'makomo uvakach mispar. Okay, no, that's not what I wanted. Okay. Re'e Hilchos Yisodei HaTorah bi'artim psicha leperek shishi es darchosher rabina b'nisuach haminyan hakatzar b'hakdam le'mishnah Torah. So he says, see earlier where I wrote about the style of the Rambam in the formulation of the concise minyan hamitzvos in the beginning of the Mishnah Torah. Af shehu noeg b'tachlis hakitzar, even though he's trying to be as concise as possible, mikol makom hoyel v'haminyan hazeh miyuad l'shamish tachnis ha-sefer, since this minyan is serving as a table of contents for the book. L'fikach im yesh bichlal mitzvah misuyemes inyanim shonim, if there are included in a specific mitzvah different topics, she'en ladun aleim b'makom echad, which the Rambam is not going to treat in one location, bilvad alone, elatzarech l'chalik hadiyun b'makomos shonos, but he's going to split up the analysis into different locations. Ki az porit rabbeinu b'minyan hakatzar es hadstadim hashonim halal. Then the Rambam will specify in the concise count the different facets of the mitzvah. I'll give examples. Gam b'mitzvahs tshuva nahag rabbeinu kach. Okay, he does this in tshuva. B'makbil l'sefer hamitzvah. I'm just going to summarize this verbally because we don't have time. So when he says b'shasa korban v'shalo b'shasa korban, he's alluding to the fact that he's going to deal with the mitzvah of vidui in two locations. One is in Hilchos Tshuva, and where do you think he's going to talk about vidui elsewhere in Maaseh HaKorbanos, okay, in Hilchos Maaseh HaKorbanos. So he's showing you, since this is a table of contents, you can find the halachos here, and you can find it in a place with korbanos, okay? Another example, I'm going to go on a little bit more, by Tkia, okay, by the Chatotros. He says, in the Minyan Amitos, Litkoa b'chatotros al ha-korbanos uvashas ha-tsaros, to sound the trumpets at a time of a korbanos and at a time of tsaros. So where are the two places where the Rambam puts the chatotros? I mean, he says on the screen.
Also,
Karbanos. Yeah.
And then
Hilchos Tanyos. Hilchos Tanyos, right? Hilchos Tanyos deals with doing it in a Sara, and then Korbanos is in Klei HaMikdash, actually, is where he talks about doing it at the time of the Korban. Yeah.
What's,
yeah.
What's
the trumpets, sounding the silver trumpets at a different time. I think he has one more example, or did I skip it? No, he can only give two examples. I guess he treats it elsewhere. But the point, though, that we get from this is that the Minyan HaMitzvos, so let's summarize everything that we have here, okay? So in the Rambam's four, this is the methodology that we walk away with from this week, okay? In the Rambam's four formulations of mitzvah, Sefer HaMitzvos is going to be extracting mitzvos from the Torah Shebichsav, so the formulation and the order will be dictated by Torah Shebichsav. Minyan HaMitzvos in the Mishnah Torah is the same order as the Sefer HaMitzvos, but it's also serving as a table of contents for where to find the treatment of it in the Mishnah Torah. So if he mentions a detail, it might have to do with how he's codifying it, okay? The Koseres is really going to be like the essence of the mitzvah. And then the first halacha, I don't know. First halacha might, you know, I'm not sure. It could be, but it's really hard here, right? Because here he makes tshuva sound like a backdrop or a prerequisite to the mitzvah of bidui. You know, sorry, Chiyon, yeah. But I think we have a much clearer idea now of how to relate to the Rambam's four formulations. I know we really need to go back and do the whole list again, but that'll have to be for another time. Okay, so plan for next week is figure out how to do tshuva, but re-examined. Okay. In other words, I want to, like, every year it pays to look at this afresh. And so this will be in the beginning of Perek Sheni of Hilchos Tshuva.
We're not doing it tomorrow.
No, we're not doing it tomorrow. Yeah. All righty. Have a good day.
If you've gained from what you've learned here today, please consider contributing to my Patreon at www.patreon.com/Rabbi Schneeweiss. Alternatively, if you would like to make a direct contribution to the Rabbi Schneeweiss Torah Content Fund, my Venmo is at Matt-Schneeweiss, and my Zelle/Chase QuickPay and PayPal are MattSchneeweiss@gmail.com. Even a small contribution goes a long way to covering the cost of my podcast and will provide me with the financial freedom to produce even more Torah content for you. If you would like to sponsor an article, shiur, or podcast episode, or if you are interested in enlisting my services as a teacher or tutor, you can reach me at rabbischneeweiss@gmail.com. Thank you to my listeners for listening, thank you to my readers for reading, and thank you to my supporters for supporting my efforts to make Torah ideas available and accessible to everyone.